Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Cowboys busted out of their offensive slump in a big win yesterday against the Lions. Dak Prescott had two touchdown passes, threw for over 200 yards for the first time this season. Ezekiel Elliott had a touchdown catch and a career-high 240 total yards with just over a minute left. And the Cowboys down one. Dak hit Zeke for a 34-yard catch to set up the game-winning field goal. Let's take a listen to the Cowboys on the play that set up the win.
Honestly, I've been trying to get that play for a while. We ran a couple of times in practice and it hit, but once I saw we got in two-minute offense and they were playing man-to-man, they had a linebacker lined up on me in the slot, I just knew, I was telling the guys on the sideline, give me the inside fade. It's him one-on-one with me. I wanted it, though. We went out there, Dak made a perfect throw, we completed the pass, won the game.
Especially at the end, you got Zeke on a linebacker. We're going to take that matchup any day of the week. Doesn't matter who the linebacker is.
Now that catch over his shoulder, when it all counted, should be one we all remember. And I'm glad I got to see it. But I've never seen him play any better than he played today.
Shannon, how impressive was Dallas?
Wasn't very impressive at all to me. For the simple fact is that Detroit Lions are dead last in rush defense allowed. And if you look at what the Cowboys were able to do, what I've been saying all along, their best football player is Ezekiel Elliott. He should – I almost called his stat line, didn't Skip Bayless. I think I said something like 27 for a buck 47. Zeke made me out to be a liar. He had 25 for a buck 52. But that's neither here nor there.
Did you predict four catches for 88?
Well, Skip.
I don't think so. I think all I heard you do was disparage his ability to catch the football. Do you remember that, Ms. Taft?
Yes. I take notes on you, too.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Ask me that question again. I could have sworn you said, Shannon, were you impressed? Yeah. And somehow you keep chiming in. Yeah. You're going to have your opportunity.
It was rhetorical.
No, it was not. I didn't even ask you no question.
I just did a rhetorical statement. I was talking to the wall.
Let me tell you why I'm not impressed. Okay. Think about this. Ezekiel Elliott had his best career day totally, rushing the football and catching the football, 240 yards from scrimmage. And it took a last second field goal to beat the Detroit Lions. See, we overvalued the Detroit Lions to begin with because they beat the New England Patriots. But the Detroit Lions are not a very good football team because remember, they lost at home to the New York Jets, who hadn't won a football game since. So with that being said, Dak is a different quarterback when Ezekiel Elliott can run the football because they have to drop that extra guy in the box. So now he knows he's throwing against man, single, high coverage. They can't get exotic in their coverages because they have to get the extra guy down to stop Zeke from running the football. Give them credit. Zeke made a nice over-the-shoulder catch. I haven't seen that. Nope. As Jerry Jones said, he's never seen that. That's what Jerry said. Now, if it's a lie, Jerry told it. Jerry Jones says, I've never seen Ezekiel Elliott make that catch.
He did not say that. He said, I've never seen him play better. I don't think he said he's never seen him make
that catch. Have you ever seen him make that catch?
Yes.
When?
I've seen him make two or three.
No. I'm not saying catching the football over the shoulder.
I'll get him tomorrow.
Okay.
I already told you. Last year, he made a couple where I said, whoa.
Not
he made a much better catch than that last year.
No, he didn't.
On a ball that was thrown high behind him in the flat. Hey, you have no idea what you're talking about. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Give him credit. I wanted to see Ezekiel Elliott catch the ball down the field because what we see these backs, we see a Le'Veon, we see a Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, David Johnson. What they're able to do, not only can they rush for 1,300 yards, which we know Zeke can do. He led the league 1 year in rushing. But they can catch the ball down the field, not just screen passes, not flat routes, throwing the ball down the field. And so I was very impressed with him catching the football. But that was a singular act. We are what we repeatedly do. Therefore, it is a habit,
yes.
An act. This was an act. We've seen him do it once. Now, once we see him do it like the Gurleys, like the Bells, like the Kamaras, okay, now we can say, okay, now Zeke, this is a habit for Zeke, catching the ball. We're running routes, him on a linebacker. So I'm not overly impressed because I really had no value, no interest in the Detroit Lions to begin with.
That's it? My turn?
Your turn.
Thank you.
All right.
Here we go. I'm about to give you, even as a lifelong Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm going to give you an objective, unvarnished, lay it on the table, straight from the gut view of what happened yesterday. This is my view, not yours, but mine. There was a whole lot I did not love about the way my Cowboys played yesterday on offense and especially on defense. But in the end, with the season on the line and the money on the table, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott combined on an extremely clutch play that not only saved the game, but put them in position to win the game on a walk-off field goal by Brett Maher, who's pretty good. I'm not going to because we got a long way to go. Yeah, he got off to a shaky, rocky start at Carolina, but so far so good, and I'm not going to tempt fate by apologizing, but that pass and that catch was a thing of beauty. It was one for the ages, and I'm with Jerry Jones. I'm just glad I got to witness it. He got to see it live in person, and I got to see it live on Fox, and it was beautiful, and I will remember that pass and that catch for the rest of my life because Dak did exactly what I keep saying that he's highly capable of doing, and that's throwing a beautiful deep ball. And I'm about to talk in just a minute about others that he threw yesterday like he's highly capable of throwing. And Ezekiel Elliott did exactly what I beat this table for all week on before this game on Sunday. What did I keep telling you? He has to catch it. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the carries. I care about the catches because nobody can deal with him in the open field. So what did he do? He lined up like a wide receiver. He lined up in the slot. And all of a sudden, a linebacker steps up and says, uh-oh, I think I got 21. And Dak says, uh-oh, I got 21. He did not hesitate and did not drop it on a dime, drop it right nice down throw. The chimney. Nice it throw. Was nice beautiful. Yes. And did Zeke just not haul it in? He looked like, dare I say, a wide receiver on that catch. He looked like a wide receiver because, trust me on this, he can catch it downfield at least as well as Le'Veon and Todd Gurley can catch it downfield. At least.
What about Kamara?
Okay, we'll throw him in there. I don't know. This guy is sensational. Yeah, who else you got? Jim Brown? You want to
No, David Johnson.
I don't know.
Okay. Those are the two way backs that you're talking about.
Okay, all right. So, that's the kind of play that not only saves but makes the season. And I told you off the Seattle game that I put the onus of the burden on Ezekiel Elliott because he made three bad plays in that game that cost them the game. Mm-hmm. He did catch a touchdown pass in that game after he had stepped out of bounds, which nullified the touchdown play. He did drop a huge third and nine pass that hit him right in the hands, and he could have turned up on Bobby Wagner and gone for 40 yards. And at the end of the game, he did bolt for 26 yards, his longest run of the day, and he got stripped from behind at the Seattle 19. Or we could be having a different conversation right now because we might be talking about 3-1 Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. So did Ezekiel Elliott ever repay his team yesterday? Because that was his career day. Career combined yards.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, especially with those four catches for 88 yards, he vaults right into the, dare I say, the MVP conversation with Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff. I think Zeke's right in the middle of it, especially if the Cowboys take off.
But here's the thing, Skip. I've been preaching to you. Mm-hmm. I said the roles need to be flipped. I said Ezekiel Elliott need to have more carries than Dak Prescott has pass attempts. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind me asking, how many rush attempts for the Cowboys offense? How many pass attempts for the
I don't know. You got the stats. I don't have
them. Oh, you ain't got
those stats? I don't have your kind of research.
You looking at it right there, Skip, but you need to be ashamed of yourself.
I don't
well, Steve Owens, me and Steve Owens, we are tandem. We be working this thing right here.
Heisman winner, yep.
Yeah. 35 rush attempts, mm-hmm. 27 pass attempts.
Uh-huh.
I keep trying to tell you that's the recipe. But
and
that's what
why did this game remain close in my humble estimation? Because Dak Prescott was not called one time to keep the ball on the read option. He ran one that he might have kept on a crucial third down late in the game, mm-hmm. but he didn't keep it one time. Nope, not one time. One of these days, he's going to break loose the way he did against the Giants and keep it 7 or 8 times, and you're going to see some devastation.
Skip. Ezekiel Elliott is running the ball for 6.1 a clip, mm-hmm. and you want your quarterback to get in the way and take carries out of his hand?
Get in the way?
He'll
average 8 or 10 yards a carry. Trust me. The way they crashed down, the defense end was crashing down on Zeke.
You got what you asked for. Ezekiel ran the football. They threw it to Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
Dak did not put the ball in harm's way. What more do you want?
No turnovers. That was pretty good.
No turnovers. Yep. Only 27 attempts. He's down. The rush attempts are up. That's the recipe. I don't know why you don't like the dish I'm trying to serve you. Mm. It's the best seller. Mm. I sell out of it every time I put it up. When I see the Cowboys, Zeke Elliott,
I want to hear more compliments paid to a Dak Prescott who threw three great deep balls yesterday. Did you see the early one to Michael Gallup? Remember that one? Remember that?
No.
That went for...
No, sure. My TV blanked out at that time.
Yeah, must have. That went for 37 yards. Then did you see the one... This is the one to Michael Gallup. Look at this. Boy, that's a sweet throw.
Yeah.
Right in stride, right in the hands. That looks like a guy who throws it deep really well. Nice catch, too.
Skill.
Nice throw.
Why do you do that?
Did you see the deep throw to Tavon Austin in the end zone, which he managed not to catch? But it was sweet. Look at this. Tell me, is this not a good deep throw? Tell me that isn't. Oh, hit him right in the hands. That could have changed the game, right? And then, of course, we know about the last one to Zeke, which he just dropped it right down the chimney.
Why do you do that?
I'm just trying to show you. You shame him all week long, and you say that Dallas needs to be ranked in the 30s. And
they do!
When you have those two, when you have that quarterback and that running back in that order, you got a chance to win every game from here on.
Flip the order. But, Skip, this is what you do. You would take a situation where somebody drops a pass or, you know, something happens, but you don't never show when Dak grounds one, kills some earthworms, or he throws the ball like he's throwing it to Yao Ming.
I did not think Dak played all that well. He made some bad choices yesterday, he held the ball on one long third down, got sacked out of field goal range. I didn't love that. He missed a couple of throws. He had Rico Gathers one-on-one in the end zone, and he just threw some, like, missile over his head. I don't know what he's doing. You just got to lob it up. He's 6'6".
But you show just how great of a thrower he is. Who can't throw the deep ball? But then you just rattled off 8-9 plays in which Dak did not play particularly well, but you highlight, and the emphasis of your voice, who said Dak Prescott can't throw deep?
Well, I showed you. Somebody across me says he can't throw deep.
But
I just demonstrated to you with video. I don't have the coach's tape, but did that happen yesterday? I think it happened.
Although you didn't show me video, you just rattled off 9 things that Dak didn't do well.
Yep. Well, I can rattle off 9 more things my defense did not do well because Matt Stafford just threw another party in his hometown of Dallas, and I can't defend it. They were 6 of 11 on third down, and every time I looked up, Golden Tate was loose for another touchdown.
Hold on, if you don't mind me asking.
45 yards.
Who was covering Golden Tate?
I don't know. Different zone.
No, I'm not going to allow you to do that. A woozy.
No, he didn't.
He was a doozy.
He didn't.
He was woozy.
No, I saw zone. I saw weird, soft.
He was in a Woozier zone.
No, he wasn't.
You're right. That's what you saw, zone. Because Golden Tate was in a zone yesterday, cooking folks.
Yep. And Jeff Heath got a shoulder knocked down. He's going to be available. So now we got to deal with Deshaun Watson, who heated up yesterday. So this could be a long day, except for my man, DeMarcus Lawrence Taylor. Remember him?
Yes.
Remember him?
Oh, he's special.
Three more sacks. Now he's leading the NFL in sacks at 5.5.
Yeah.
That's better than Khalil. Believe that?
Let me ask you a question.
Wow.
If I gave you a choice right now, you can have DeMarcus Lawrence or Khalil Mack. Which one you take?
I'll take DeMarcus Lawrence Taylor. He's just wreaking havoc on the NFL.
Khalil Mack is in the MVP discussion.
Okay.
Not Defensive Player of the Year. MVP.
I'll take my guy.
Skip, you do know the guy's had a sack, strip, a forced fumble in every single game.
Yep. Now he gets to match his talents up against J.J. Watt on the same field and Clowney. So here we go.
J.J.
Yeah, they each had 2 sacks yesterday.
You know what? Jeff Heath and Sean Lee must be working at the same place because they stay hurt.
Mm.
I guess they're not going to Tom Brady's pliability. Mm.
Well, unfortunately, it sounds like Earl Thomas is not going to be a Dallas Cowboy.
He's not going to be a Seahawk either. Earl cleans out his locker as we speak. No
mercy. The Patriots avoided their worst start since 2001 by blowing out the Dolphins 38-7 yesterday. Tom Brady threw 3 touchdown passes to 3 different receivers, and Josh Gordon was active for the first time as a Patriot. He had 2 catches for 32 yards, and New England is now 2-2. Shannon, how surprising was the Patriots' performance?
This wasn't surprising at all. We know what they do against the Dolphins. We know what they do against division opponents at home in the Tom Brady era. Mm-hmm. He's only lost 5 games against division opponents when you count playoffs and regular seasons. So when you factor that in, you shouldn't be surprised. Now, maybe the 38-0, but I think I had to score, Skip. I thought they win by 10 points. won me a case of Duke too.
You did. I'm gonna talk about that.
I don't need you to talk about it. I just told everybody I won me a case of Duke. Mm-hmm. But
wait, do I get to talk? Or no,
it's not your turn yet.
Oh, it's your show now. I get it.
No, it's.
Oh,
okay. Hold on. Why you?
I'll just sit over here.
It wasn't no rhetorical question. I did not ask you a question. All I said is I won me a case of Duke. That's all I had to say. Mm-hmm. You could have nodded, but you interjected yourself. Now
you want me to talk?
No, I'm gonna continue on. You had to be impressed, 38-0. I mean, in today's game where everybody's throwing for 300 and 400 yards, 4, 5, 6 touchdowns, for the defense to hold this, shut this team out, considering they were 3-0, but that's Ryan Tannehill, that is the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't at me. But anyway, Skip, I think Tom Brady.
Don't read them.
Yeah, I got to read them because I like to respond to some of them. Mm. But anyway, Tom wasn't sharp, Skip. Mm. He threw one Minka, the last interception. If Minka didn't pick it off, the safety was going to pick it off. The other one, I'm not going to blame Tom for it, Skip, because the defender made a heck of a play. They run the seam.
I saw it. And he just spun and came straight back. It was beautiful, on time.
Every quarterback that throws the over route is going to throw that play because he just knows the guy's going to clear. He's running.
But that's just straight guess, right?
They game plan. They say, look, when he runs the seam, just peel back.
I've never seen anything like that before. We just wheeled at the last second. The ball's already in the air.
The ball hit him in the chest. And so there's nothing Tom could do about that one. That was a heck of a defensive play. But Tom is not as sharp as I'm used to seeing him
at this time of year.
No. He's still great. And when you get the defense playing like it played yesterday, and we knew normally early in the season, the defense, it takes them a while for them to get on the same page. Mm-hmm. I believe Tom will pick his play up. Gronk did get nicked. He left in the third quarter, Skip.
He did.
But Gronk leaves. Don't know if he's going to be available this week, but they get Edelman back. So I think once Tom get that guy back, because that's Tom's guy, Skip. Gronk is the guy that does the most damage, but he feels most comfortable throwing the ball to Julian Edelman because they have a great wavelength together.
Finished?
Yeah.
Thank you. My turn. So I did lose a rare case of Diet Mountain Dew to Shannon Sharp. Now he owes me 10. Only 10 is down from 11. But it was the most satisfying bet I have ever lost in my life because I was so concerned for the team I picked to win it all this year. You didn't pick the Patriots even to make it to the Super Bowl. And I did not love the fact that that defense got torched in the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick, the genius's defense, got torched in the Super Bowl, got torched by Blake Bortles, although he had another good game yesterday. Yeah. Who knew? You don't like him. I respect him.
Oh, so we're going to do this every week? Ugh. What about the week before when he only scored 6 points?
But obviously, Belichick's defense got torched by Matt Stafford in Detroit. And I'm thinking, wait a second, there's no Edelman until next Thursday night when they play Indy. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, this is not good because Ryan Tannehill has now won 10 of his last 11 starts dating back to last year. And again, I don't like Ryan Tannehill. I was on the record ahead of that draft. I didn't say he'd be a bust, but I said he's not a first-round pick to me. And I learned two lessons yesterday. Do not bet against Tom Brady and do not bet on Ryan Tannehill, who had a QBR yesterday of 3.5. Think about that. It was the second lowest of the year so far.
3.5 is good if you're in college. That's a nice grade point.
I know. But on a scale of 0 to 100, it is no good. And Ryan Tannehill is flat out no good because his offense totaled 172 yards. The defense came to life with Trey Flowers and Patrick Chung back. And I thought Tom Brady threw it really well yesterday. Silly me. And here's if I'd known this, I would not have bet you the case of Diet Mountain Dew. Did you notice who was a new secret weapon for Tom Brady yesterday? Did you happen to notice that guy number 10? Did you see what happened on 3rd and 6 on the opening drive? Did you see what happened down near the
goal line?
Oh, wait a minute. Josh Gordon was in the game, and Tom Brady threw him a pass, and he caught it for 13 yards that gave him 1st and goal down at the 3-yard line. And I'm like, where did he come from? Because I didn't see him being in the lineup yet. Not like that. And he threw him. He played 22 snaps yesterday. Tom Brady threw Josh Gordon 4 balls yesterday, 3 of them on 3rd down. That's a lot. That's paying him a lot of respect for a guy who just got there, 2 weeks ago, right?
Skip, the talent is undeniable.
Okay, but could he pick it up? Could he grasp it?
Are you trusting him long?
I don't know.
That's always been the question, not his ability.
So Tom Brady trusted him on 3rd and 6, on 3rd and 7, and on 3rd and 3. And then the second two targets he got, they had penalties on positive.
On him.
Yeah,
he got a pass.
Yeah, he got the penalties. And then on the 3rd and 3, he caught one for 19 yards. So all of a sudden, when you've got a nuclear weapon on the field, and he is nuclear, man, everybody knows, 10's on the field. Right. I don't like him in 10. I don't know.
What do you want to be, 12? You want to get 12?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
He wore 13 for a while. Then he wore 12 for a while in Cleveland. But I don't think he's ever going to get 12 in New England.
You
could be
sure
wrong
about
that. But
you say you don't like him in 10.
Yeah, I just looked weird.
Yeah.
10's a weird number to be wearing, but whatever. So the point is, with Josh Gordon in there, it changes everything because all of a sudden you have to be conscious of that guy, and they're not conscious of Chris Hogan. They don't care about anybody else. There's no wideout. They don't care. Cordarrelle Patterson, they don't care. In fact, they left him all alone on one play yesterday, and he was off to the races.
The thing is, Skip, you call plays and Josh Gordon can go get open.
Mm-hmm.
In the other situation, you have to diagram plays. You got to run pick plays to try to get those guys open. But what did I tell you about Sonny Michel? I said, Skip, in 11 personnel, he needs space.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he's not an eye back. You put him in space and let him do – he's a bigger Deion Lewis.
He broke
and then
loose.
James White. I said, they're going to go back to James White. They're going to lean heavily on him, Skip.
Yep.
But when they're running the ball, look, you're not going to beat the Patriots if you allow them to run the ball for 175 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen. You're not going to beat them doing that, Skip.
Mm-hmm.
So you better force Tom Brady to try to throw the football and then try to get home on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you let them – 40 attempts, I mean, they had 75 plays.
Mm.
Well – you give them 75 plays, you're probably going to lose, Skip.
Mm. How about 10 of 15 on third down?
That you're going to lose.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to lose that one.
Mm. So the Dolphins were fraudulent as I feared they wouldn't be, but they just walked in and laid the biggest egg, and they said, we are still the Miami Dolphins.
15 minutes time of possession, New England dominated.
Well, there you go. Yep.
You like that, huh?
I liked everything I saw because New England and Tom Brady are back in business. You see him on Instagram last night. He's just
They never went anywhere, Skip. Yeah. They never went anywhere. It's you that keeps doubting Coach Belichick's greatness.
He lost one time. What is he, like 15-1 against Miami? And the one that he lost, it didn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. But you thought I was going to pick the Dolphins? Skip, think about it.
Did you see what was happening to the point spread? For this game, they opened the New England at 9.5, and it got bet all the way down to 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
And you were so nervous, you wanted the 6.5 after you'd already given me the 7. That's how nervous you were about the game. You should have just said, I don't care. I'll take 10, 12.
I picked the 20. I said 24-14. But no, I should have known better than Ryan Tannehill because I know what he is.
Yep.
I know what he is. I know what he's going to be. He'll win these games, Skip, that don't really do anything.
Mm.
But when the rubber needs to meet the road, and you know what? They're probably, it'll be late. Well, I think they probably play in December. They'll play in Miami.
They'll play him tight.
They'll play him tight. But Ryan Tannehill, you're not going anywhere with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Wherever you're going, if Ryan Tannehill can take you anywhere, you probably don't want to go.
Just stay behind.
If he's driving, I'm going to wait on another Uber.
Maybe Josh Gordon's going to take the Patriots all the way back home to Atlanta, right?
That's my home.
I know. That's
that
what I'm saying.
That much hope in him already.
Skip, why you
like
do that?
I told you he's got Randy Moss potential.
I know he does, but Skip,
this is New England. Great things happen to troubled guys.
11 games in 5 years.
Okay.
He
looked good yesterday.
He looked good in Cleveland.
Edelman, and he caught a big touchdown pass against Pittsburgh in the opener. Remember that?
He looked good in Cleveland.
My team's got this. My team's back in business. Here we go. Thank you very much for this. And by the way, Tom Brady threw a touchdown to his 70th different receiver in his career yesterday, which ties Vinny Testaverde for the all-time record in that category. So he just keeps on keeping on.
Is that a record? They keep stats like that now?
70 different receivers.
They keep stats like that. I didn't know that was a stat.
I think that's an incredible stat. 70 different human beings have got touchdown passes from Tom Brady, and maybe 6 or 8 of them from Dorchester. He just went up and got them out of the stands before the game.
Skip, your mom's a flight attendant, right, Jenny?
Yeah.
Well, you should know.
If you're a flight attendant and you fly for, say, 25 years, there's a great chance you've been to a lot of different cities, huh?
Yes.
Tom Brady's played all these years.
Mm.
You would think he didn't have the same receivers for all 18 years, Skip Bayless. So stop making like this. It's like, oh, my gosh.
But half of them you've never heard of.
Yes. half of the receivers that Joe Montana had, you never heard of.
There was Joe right Smith there. And Bill Scott and Richard Reed. I don't know who they were.
Tom is great, but will you stop? Will you please?
Here we go.
Well, you bring up Josh Gordon, and it's interesting because Baker Mayfield may have missed him yesterday.
I think he did miss him.
Does Mayfield,
I tweeted that.
I know. Deserve the blame for that loss. A lot of people follow it.
No mercy.
The Packers blew out the Bills yesterday 22-0, so they should be a little happy, right? Well, Aaron Rodgers threw for nearly 300 yards and a touchdown, but he appeared to take a shot at Mike McCarthy's play calling after the game. You got to hear this.
There was no flow to the game. There was a little bit in the first half. After that, that was not great by any stretch of imagination. We need to find ways to get our playmakers in position to get some more opportunities. You know, a game like today, I mean, Devontae is a tough cover for anybody, but he should have 20 targets today. They really couldn't stop him. You know, and then they dared to play one high a few times. So we got to find ways to get him involved and Jimmy as well.
How is that done? How do you do that? Play selection? Is that by reads? How does that happen?
It's by the plan. Find ways to get him in number one spots.
Boy, he looks mad. It's like almost as if they lost. Okay, Skip, what is going on here?
That is your guy, and I don't know how you're going to defend this.
Easy.
That's why I'm going to start with Skip.
This is diva alert.
Don't do that, Skip.
Aaron Rodgers is at it again because you know and I know Aaron Rodgers is the LeBron James of the National Football League. He leads the league in finger-pointing and blame-deflecting. He did not want any of the focus on his average performance yesterday. He did have a QBR of 58, which is just barely above average. That was his best QBR of the season. Aaron's not having a very good season, and I know his knee got tweaked. I'm not sure what's wrong with it. Can't be that hurt, but his QBR for the season is 49, 1 point below average on a scale of 0 to 100. That ranks 22nd in the National Football League.
Cowboys,
so
take him right now.
Even after they win a game 22-0, what a defensive effort against a team that went to Jenny's place last week. Buffalo went to Minnesota and just cleaned them out, right? So 22-0, and we were terrible on offense. He says we were a championship defensive level team and a non-playoff team offensively today. And then he goes off about Devontae should have 20 targets. And finally he's asked, well, what's the cause here? And he said, it's by the plan. So he completely dumps all the blame on the play caller, who is his head coach, Mike McCarthy. This is after Mike McCarthy had already done his media session, and he had just lauded and applauded Aaron for playing hurt and inspiring the team in the locker room. And now Mike's going to have to answer some hard questions today about getting called out by his quarterback. And Aaron concluded, hey, I'm excited to go home and have a scotch or two, but I'm also a realist, and this is just not acceptable offense, he says. Not acceptable, but they're 2-1-1. They're only a half game behind the Chicago Bears. I think they're in a pretty good position, and that defense is much better. You're always telling me he gets no help from his defense, right?
Yeah.
But maybe he needs more help from himself, because if Devontae Adams needs 20 targets, couldn't Aaron check out of a play and maybe throw it to Devontae? Or he's got to go straight by the book after all these years of him being an MVP quality quarterback, and he can't check off and throw more balls to Jimmy Graham and Devontae. I think that's pretty easy to do. So I think he is blame deflecting and finger pointing, just like a guy that I know who played his first preseason game for the Lakers last night.
You know what? Here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers demands excellence. Mm. And as Mike Shanahan told me, and I tell people this, he said, I'll never accept anything in a win I wouldn't in a loss. And Aaron Rodgers says, even though we won this game, this is unacceptable. Mm. This is not good enough. Mm. We finally get the performance that we've been looking for from our defense for the last 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. And yes, we won 22-0. But he also said we should have got 45. And we should have had 600-plus yards
he
about then.
600-plus?
Yeah. Wow. So I demand it. Let me tell you something, Mike McCarthy. Mm. If I'm going to be out here with this busted-up knee and this big old bulky knee brace, it's a gun, Joy. I know it is, a big old bulky knee brace. Mm. I demand that you put me in a situation where I can succeed, where I can show my exemplary skills of throwing the football. We ran the ball 32 times. Got no problem with that. But I need 45 attempts throwing the ball because Buffalo is not good enough to play with us.
Hmm.
And, you know, Aaron Rodgers loves his scotch. You know, he strikes me as maybe a Johnny Walker Blue, maybe a Macallan 1800.
I wouldn't know. I have
you know, maybe something
no
like
experience.
That. Maybe Glenn Fittich. I don't know, Jim. But
you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Little something, Skip. You know, don't worry about it. See, there you go again. Put my business all in the street.
It's in that stuff over there.
Telling my business.
There's a lot going on.
Dry snitching. You be dry snitching. Skip Bayless.
I'm wet snitching.
Yeah. But what he's saying is that Mike McCarthy, don't think you're going to use my injury as an excuse to call some bull jive because I'm going to call you out. Now, I know a guy that went on the radio. I think it was WEEI last week.
I'm glad you brought that
and
guy
he
up.
Was talking about how, you know, they doubling Gronk and we got to do a better job. Guys got to get open.
Yep.
I don't know the guy's name, but I think WEEI is a Boston-based radio station.
True.
And the quarterback has been calling in to that station for the better part of 15, 16 years.
He's paid to do that. Go ahead.
So he paid
his show.
So he's paid. So he's paid to show his teammates up and talk about their receivers are not getting open and they're doubling Gronkowski.
Let me get this straight. Did Mike McCarthy in the offseason try to get rid of Aaron Rodgers? That's what Bill Belichick did.
What
to Tom
they got
to
do? Hold on. Okay,
it does a lot because Tom Brady's saying I have no wideouts. Now he's got one in Josh.
Oh, so he being diva-ish. Now Aaron Rodgers just called his coach out saying, look
here. No, he's saying, I got a wide out and a tight end, but we got to throw in more passes. Well, Tom Brady would throw those guys a whole lot of passes.
No, he said, we need to be called, put me in a situation. Because he said, see, Mike McCarthy's trying to get off the hook because Aaron Rodgers, well, I don't want to put Aaron in harm's way. Aaron says, I'm out here. I'm in harm's way.
Let me get this straight. So Aaron's on such a short leash that he can't change a play at the line of scrimmage?
No
audibles in Green Bay.
No, skip.
Once Mike calls it, you got
to
run.
Every play is not designed to have an audible. Every play, even if you do audible out of it, doesn't automatically assume that Devontae Adams is going to be the number one option in that audible. So what
make him that. No, when you drop back, just say, Devontae's singled, I'm going to throw it to him.
No. You don't get a 4-to-1 touchdown interception ratio by making things up. You don't become the transcendent best thrower of the football in the history of the game by just willy-nilly going out and doing that.
Now he's handicapped by his play caller.
No. Hold on.
Here we go.
You just said that Tom Brady was handicapped by his coach.
He's handicapped by his roster. Well, you agreed with me. He's got nobody to throw to.
Those same guys that are on his roster, he won Super Bowls with. Mm. So now, which is it? You give him credit when he wins with those guys.
What had Detroit just done? They just said, you cannot have Gronk. You can't have him short. You can't have him medium. You can't have him long. We will take him away from you. We will force you to throw it to Chris Hogan and Cordarrelle Patterson.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Wow.
Because the Atlanta Falcons says, you can't have Gronk. Never mind. Gronk missed the last 8 games. He didn't play in the Super Bowl.
No.
And Tom Brady won the Super Bowl with those same guys.
Can you believe Tom Brady threw for 246 in fourth quarter? And
how can he do that with those guys from Gloucester and those Southies?
He went and got the guys out of the stands from Dorchester, and he said, I'll make you guys stars.
They say he went to Gloucester. He's up there in fishing country. Mm. Morton had the rubber boots on, the guys got off the fishing boat and came and caught two touchdowns.
Mm.
But now when he loses, he doesn't have anybody. When he wins with those same guys that he got off the fishing boat, Tom Brady is all-time great. Mm. Now you got to make your mind up, Skip Bayless, because I'm not going to let you do it.
Tom Brady would never do this to his play caller.
He's done it.
To his play caller because he knows he can check
out. Did you see him on the sideline yelling at Josh McDaniels?
Oh, please.
What was he yelling at Josh McDaniels?
When was this?
About the soup that he made for Sunday evening?
When was this?
You remember what he was last year. Yes.
Yeah, because he threw a bad ball.
What is because?
Josh is saying, what's wrong with
what
you?
What is because?
You can't show up Tom Brady on national TV. He's going to fire back.
Whoa.
He's psycho Tom.
Whoa. So Aaron Rodgers just showed up his coach, but you said he can't do that.
He shows up every receiver. It's like, why don't you run this route? Why don't you run that route? It's the biggest finger pointing I've ever seen.
No, I'm not going to lie.
This is why this guy, Aaron Rodgers, is not in the same universe with number 12 and the real number
12. He in his own universe.
Yeah.
Own.
Please.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers.
I think I might go home and have me a stock.
Yeah,
oh, really?
McCollum.
Yeah. A little early.
McCollum, 1800. Yeah. Hey, come on, Skip. I get you.
So you can forget what he
No.
What he said?
I'm gonna wait till the night. Have me a nightcap. I'm going to work out soon as I leave here.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Those don't go together. Work out, have, no.
Skip, I can have fun. I mean, you don't want me to have no life. Mm. You just want me to just study for the show, go work out and come home. Is that what you want me to do?
Well, if you're going to hang with me.
No, I ain't going to hang with you. I'm going to eat the gummies.
Oh, oh my gosh. No, no gummy talk. No, I don't need any.
You got an anger problem.
No, I don't. I do not. No mercy. Baker Mayfield threw 2 touchdown passes in his first career start, but he also threw 2 interceptions and fumbled twice, and the Browns lost in overtime to the Raiders. With about a minute left in the fourth and the Browns up 8, Carlos Hyde looked like he ran for a first down to end the game, but the officials reviewed the play, reversed the call, causing the Browns to punt. The Raiders then tied it on a Derek Carr TD pass with 30 seconds left, and then won in overtime. Take a listen to Baker after the loss.
Absolutely. You know, when you make that many mistakes, though, it's not going to happen. It's all the little things, from being fundamental on our routes to me delivering the ball in the right place on time. You know, yeah, they scored enough points to win, but we gave them the opportunity to do so. You know, we turned the ball over too many times, gave them a chance. And in this league, when you turn the ball over like we did today, like I did, you're not going to win those games. And so we saw the end result of that. I'm quarterback of this team. It's on me.
Okay, Shannon, what grade would you give Baker's performance?
D.
So, okay.
A big, fat D.
Wow.
Because someone...
dumb? Go ahead.
No. Don't do that, Skip. Don't try to get me off my grade. Hold on. Wait a minute. I didn't ask you to respond. It's not your turn. Jenny said, Shannon, what grade would you give Baker? And then you chime in. Mm. Can I have the floor? Is it my turn? Okay, thank you. I give him a D because someone has ingrained in my mind, Baker Mayfield is a careful gambler. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's oxymoronic, but okay. So
I told you it was.
Careful gambler. Mm-hmm. Even he had Jenny T co-signing. Mm-hmm. Oh, he threw 43 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Now, 4 turnovers. Mm-hmm. Now, what am I supposed to do with that, Skip?
Well, you tell me it's not my turn.
It's not
Are
your
you
turn.
Asking me to talk?
No,
or is
I'm
it
not
my turn, Jenny? I don't know.
This is a rhetorical question. You're not to respond until
How do I know? You need to. We need a graphic that says rhetorical.
Well, this is rhetorical. Right? Yeah. Turn the football over 4 times. 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles. Mm. That's 4 total. Jenny, I like the way Jenny prefaced that. She's like, he had 2 interceptions and 2 fumbles. Mm. No, that's 4 total. Because, you know, somebody might have came in on the turnover.
Jenny, he is being hard on you.
No, Jenny,
I know.
Jenny, my home team still. But here's
the
problem. Is that where the turnovers occurred? One occurred on the 7-yard line, the other occurred on the 20.
No good.
You're up. Mm. So not only did he allow them, because they had a 28-14 lead before he fumbled that ball, they end up going in. And then he fumbled the ball again. Baker Mayfield talked about, we turned the ball over too much. I don't know who we are. Mm. You turned the ball over too much. And next thing you know, they're behind. Because, you know, what I've been hearing is that had Baker Mayfield started the entire season, they would be 4-0. Well, Baker Mayfield in his first start lost the ball game because he did something Tyrod Taylor in 3 years of starting, cumulative, has never done. Turned the ball over 4 times. Jenny, do you know there's only been 1 game in which Tyrod Taylor has had 2 or more turnovers? Mm. 1 game.
Interesting.
1 game.
Yeah.
The one thing that Tyrod Taylor does not do is turn the football over. I would like to think had Tyrod Taylor had played in a game in which his team rush for over 200 yards, I feel very comfortable in saying, Tyrod Taylor would have won that game. Now, someone will say, well, the official blew the call. Someone will say the official, Derek Carr, fumbled that ball. They'll give you all these excuses on what should have happened and what could have happened. At the end of the day, and then, before I make this other point, in overtime, they give Baker Mayfield back the ball. And if I'm not mistaken, 3 straight incomplete. That's what he did. Now, Skip Bayless told me Baker Mayfield is so proficient at throwing the football. Not your turn. I know you're chomping at the bit wanting to talk over there, but it's not your turn just yet. 3
I'm about
straight.
To fall asleep over
there. Did I don't fall asleep?
Is the show over yet, Jenny? I don't know.
You should have fallen asleep on that performance that he put up, but you were on the edge of your seat because I know you was just waiting to tweet, Baker, I know you were waiting, and you couldn't do it.
You follow me, so you should know.
I don't follow anything. They be sending me that mess.
Yeah.
Skip, I can't. Yeah. C would have been the average. Mm. Had he won the game, okay. But when you get a D, he had to be below average. Four turnovers, because you told me, oh, that wasn't his fault. Tyrod Taylor had a situation where a field goal with his kicker missed two PATs and two field goals. Had that been Baker Mayfield, they wouldn't even been in that situation. Mm. They wouldn't have needed those field goals. Mm. Okay. Mm. They didn't have Tyrod in there. Mm. And Baker turned the ball over four times, put his teams in harm's way in a game they should have won. They lost because of Baker Mayfield turnovers.
Really? Interesting. So, are you advocating that Tyrod Taylor be reinserted into the starting lineup?
No, I'm not advocating that.
Well, that's what I think you just said. You're making that case.
No.
Go for it.
No.
Go for it.
I'm making...
Campaign for Hugh Jackson to go back to Tyrod.
No. Skip, this is not no flip-flop. You can't be going back and
forth. You might need a bodyguard when you leave today if you do that.
No, Skip, you can't go back and forth with quarterbacks. One quarterback has a bad game, go to the other. The other quarterback has a bad game, go back to the other. But I'm just saying Baker did turn the ball over four times.
Interesting. A bad game. So, Jenny, I don't know. I must live in a different neighborhood from Shannon. I have a different TV provider, and I don't know. I was watching Fox, I thought. I don't know what I was watching. Yeah. I don't know. You were watching Pox or Fax or something. Some other show. I don't know what station you were watching.
I saw Baker just giving it up.
Oh, really? I saw a very different game. Jenny,
I did, too.
Sorry. Thank you for
that. Jenny, don't do that.
Appreciate that very much. I'm going to give Baker Mayfield for his first ever NFL start on the road in the black hole in Oakland, an A-.
What?
Because his team put up 42 points, thanks largely to him. 42 points? It was the most ever scored by a first overall pick in his first start since the merger. It was by far. It was 42. The next was Vinny Testaverde. He had 34 in his first start back in 1988, I believe it was. That was a long time ago, wasn't it, Shannon?
Mm-hmm. It was.
So, as you correctly pointed out, but tried to just slough off and sweep under your little carpet over there, obviously Baker Mayfield did enough to win the game, because he should have said after the game, instead of "it's on me, it's on them," as in the referees, because that game was flat out stolen from Baker Mayfield. It was stolen twice from Baker Mayfield. If we could, just real quickly, 6:18 left in the game. It's 3rd and 9, Oakland from their 42. Derek Carr drops back, and I have no idea what this is.
That's not it.
Here we go. Derek Carr drops back, and it's a fumble. He fumbled. Wait a minute. They blew the look. Wait a minute. Ogunjobi, he's got the football. 65's got the football. He's going to run for a touchdown. It's a flat-out fumble. He's gone. He's gone for six. It's going to be the backbreaker for the home team. They're all going to look at each other like, we're doing it again. We're falling to 0-4 because what can go wrong will go wrong. And they rule it in the grasp, a quick whistle. It was a flat out, the ball was so loose and so gone before he was in the grasp, it wasn't even funny. But still, the Browns survived that, and we go all the way down to 1:41 is left in the game, and it's 3rd and 2 at their 17, and they give it to Carlos Hyde, who had a big game.
Oh, really?
He hammers the ball
monster.
Forward. Monster game, and he hammers the ball forward, and that's easily. He falls with the football across the first down line, and it's the refs just see it and say, first down, and the game is about to be over because you're going to kneel out the clock because the home team's out of timeouts. So the game is over. They are going to win the game with the 42 points that Baker Mayfield scored in regulation. And somehow, even after Dean Blandino, Fox's own Dean Blandino, who used to be the head of referees for the National Football League, even while he goes live on Fox and says, no, you can't overturn that. There's nothing clear. There's no conclusive proof. There's no conclusive view to overrule that. Somehow Al Riveron or somebody in New York says, nope, overruled, not a first down, fourth down. What? It's fourth down, which leads me, by the way, to the defense of the Cleveland Browns, which I thought was the backbone of the Cleveland Browns, thanks to Greg Williams, and I've been raving about it and saying they're going to keep them in every game. They gave up 565 yards. They gave up 426 passing to Derek Carr, who sometimes throws the biggest bunch of lollipops I've ever seen. And you can't stop him at all. They're just going up and down the field at will.
And they run the ball, Skip. Sometimes if you look at Greg's defense, schematically it's unsound. And you see sometimes Marshawn hit a crease and he's getting 10, 15 yards for someone touching. or he'll bring 3-4 from one side where he leaves the other side available, and now they dump the screen to Marshawn, and he's running down the field for 50 yards.
And usually he goes after a younger quarterback a lot. Not that Derek's that young now. He's getting into the veteran stage of his career, but he's got a new coach and a new system, and it's all a little new, and I thought he would throw kitchen sink at him, and he did not. They didn't come after him. They mostly, even the one, the fumble that we just saw, that was just a four-man straight rush. Now let's get back to my man, Baker Mayfield, who deserved an A-minus for this game because he did commit four turnovers that go on his record, but were not all his fault. In fact, three of them for sure were not his fault, and the fourth one...
The three of them was not his fault.
Here we go. Let's go first one up. The pick six. Is that really his fault?
No, I give you that one.
Okay,
no,
can we see it real quick? Just Callaway slips.
Yes.
And it's, you know how you've played there a lot.
Yes.
It's always wet and muddy, like inexplicably muddy. Callaway, a rookie, just slips down and the ball's thrown. I think it was a really good pass. I think it would have been complete when he slipped on his break.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, Gerrion Conley says, oh, look what I found. Pick six.
Yes.
Then the second one happened, as you said, in a terrible place because it's first and 10 on their own 11-yard line. And the pocket just gets crushed back in his face. Maurice Hurst, the rookie out of Michigan, he just drives the line straight back into Baker, who tries to throw it quickly. He tries to get rid of it, and I'm going to give you this one. This is his fault because you just got to duck and cover. If you feel it, you just got to cover
ball
the football.
Security. Number one thing, quarterback
in
the pocket, ball security.
His arm gets hit, and the ball just it's not quite going forward yet. Mm-hmm. It's close.
Okay.
It's close. He tried to do empty hand, you know. He tried to say it was a forward pass.
Yes.
It's already gone. So I'm going to give you that one. Now let's get to turnover number three. It's the J.C. Tretter turnover, in which Baker rarely goes under center, and he reaches under center, and he is changing the play at the line of scrimmage, and J.C. Tretter snaps it as he's calling an audible.
Okay,
you can't. Is that his fault? I think not. I'm going to put that one on J.C. Tretter at the center.
No.
He snapped it while you're audibling. I'm sorry. That is not the quarterback's fault. He doesn't even have his hand set yet. He's doing hand signals and barely puts his hand back under it. And all of a sudden, he's like, what? And he, of course, goes over to J.C. as they leave the field and says, hey, man, I wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on. So that's not his fault.
How's that my fault? When you put your hands up under the center.
Okay, well, because the center snapped it before you're supposed to snap
it. How do we know that?
I could just see it.
No.
He's doing all kinds of hand signals, and then it's like, boom. It's clearly he snapped it early.
No, that's
clearly did. That's center, not on the quarterback.
Quarterback center exchange, the most important thing.
There's two out of three not on the quarterback.
Of course. You're trying to make the argument to keep keep this A grade up there.
And then with 14 seconds left, he just heaves one for Callaway because he's just trying to make a desperation play.
Why?
Because he's just hoping that the safety would come over and Reggie Nelson did.
If you don't mind me asking, why would he do that, Skip? Because he has a timeout.
Because
he still has a timeout.
You're just trying to make one big play to win the game.
No, you don't need to make
okay
a big play.
I'm
how about
okay
just getting field goal range? You have a timeout. So the entire field of play is in play. You can go middle.
14 seconds left.
With a timeout?
Okay, I'll give you that one. I'll give you two out of four. Two out of four. But you just gave him a D for four turnovers.
Yeah.
And two are like iffy, like they're not the end of the world. They're not, egregious turnovers. They're not glaring turnovers.
But you're ready to hold
they're up. Not rookie turnovers where you say, what are you thinking? Why did you throw it there? There are three people in the way.
But what I don't get is how you downgraded Tyrod Taylor for the two missed PATs and two missed field goals.
I didn't downgrade him.
Yes,
I just said
did.
Baker's better, and he's clearly better.
No. You said Baker would have won that game. But
He would have won all three of the first games.
Why didn't he win this one?
He did. He won it 42 to whatever the score was.
Hold on, time out. Wait a minute.
Yep.
You
they got robbed. Shannon, they got robbed.
No,
it's over. The game's over. I'm sorry. No. He won it.
No, he didn't.
He gets a W.
No, he didn't.
Yep. He gets a qualified W with an asterisk on it.
You know what?
Robbery.
I stayed open late.
Robbery.
Because what I'm trying to do is I like for entertainers to come to my restaurant.
Oh.
So I stayed open late for Baker. Him being the number
your
one.
Your restaurant must not be an enlightened restaurant.
Yeah, no.
Did you let the refs in last
night? No.
Yeah, because they quote-unquote won for
but
Oakland.
This is what
they
I don't,
won
this,
a game for Oakland.
This
way
is
to
what,
go, refs.
This is what I don't get, Skip. You're averaging 6.7 yards a rush. 6.7.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Hyde has it going.
Mm-hmm.
Chubb Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Chubb has it going.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow.
Remember, Nick Chubb, the guy nobody could even recognize in the baggage carousel, right? During Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Fans are coming up saying, do you play football? Yeah, he plays.
And guess
they
what?
Will now.
Yeah.
I guess the Raiders didn't recognize him either because he had 3-4, Buck 05, and two tubs. But that's neither here nor there. But somehow, if you. I can assure you this. I don't know much. I only played the game a little bit.
Okay.
But
you must only play a little. That's all I can figure out.
Because I can assure you this. Give Tyrod Taylor 207-plus yards running the football and see if he loses a game.
Mm.
Now, this is what we know. They call the game different for Baker Mayfield. They allow Baker Mayfield to throw the football down the field. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's watched the Cleveland games, the first three, and then watched the game with Baker, you see they allow him to throw the football down mm-hmm. the field while they're letting Tyrod throw jailbreak screens and bubble screens mm-hmm. and all that. They do not allow him to push the ball down the field. You're right, Skip. Baker Mayfield scored 42 points, but he allowed the Oakland Raiders to score 45 points because it was his turnovers that led to the game, the momentum to swing back, and his turnover that allowed the Raiders to
The game have ended at 3rd-and-2 from the 17 with 141 left? Yes. So he did enough. His offense scored 42.
No. Skip, I'm not going to allow you to do that.
Yep.
Because I've known.
I just did it.
No.
I just did it.
So
because
not,
everybody with half a brain is saying, yeah.
I only got third of a brain. Yep. But in the NFL, but in sports, Skip, we play to win. Not to. Well, he did enough. Now, so since when is doing enough?
Game's over. You got a first down. Everybody would think. You saw it. It was a first down.
You love QBR, right?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell the people at home what was making QBR?
Well, it wasn't that terrible.
No.
I forget what it was.
I didn't forget. 58.
58's pretty good. That's 8 points above average.
8 points above average.
Yeah.
Is that what we do now?
Better than Carson Wentz had yesterday. I just did a Shannon on Shannon.
Skip. Mm. If anybody out there, even in Cleveland, think Baker Mayfield
better
played
than Aaron
a better
Rodgers had yesterday.
If anybody out there thinks that Baker Mayfield played a better game than Carson Wentz. Now they both made the same fate.
Wait, now we haven't even started on the good things that he did. Did you see the rocket touchdown pass he threw to Fells? That was a flat out rocket. Did you see the beautiful fade he threw to Jarvis Landry for another touchdown?
Yes.
It was beautiful.
Yes.
He knew it. He was already dancing while it was in the air because he knew he had it and he knew he threw it.
Did you see the two picks that he threw? Did you see the two fumbles that he had?
I think we just went.
Okay. Don't gloss over. And the Raiders were dancing.
Did you see that lightning strike to Callaway in the fourth quarter that got him another touchdown?
Yeah.
I mean, this kid is just electric.
You told me he was a careful gambler.
Mm-hmm.
He had a third of his interceptions, what he had last year in college. Now, you told me, I don't know how you get that. It's kind of like jumbo shrimp. A quiet riot. That's oxymoronic because how can those things go together? He's a careful gambler, gambling in and of itself.
He had six interceptions all year, and they threw it all over the
line. How many he got right now in one start?
In one start?
Yeah.
Well, he had one that you could say one was just sort of a Hail Mary, and the other one was not his fault.
You feel comfortable saying that he will have less than six the rest of the way?
I don't know. His first time in this was his first NFL start ever.
You keep telling me.
Sam Darnold started his fourth game
and
yesterday.
And he won.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold won his first. But if you don't mind me asking, who had the
most
as a number? Sam Darnold's first start, he won. He beat Detroit.
I don't know how.
No, that's not important.
Yeah.
It's not for you to figure out how he won. Mm. He won. But if you don't mind me asking, you said Baker Mayfield did what? He scored the most points by number one overall draft pick.
In his first start.
In his first start.
And his was on the road in the black hole. It's a tough place
to play. What about turnovers?
It gets crazy.
What about turnovers?
Yeah. What about
who had the most turnovers in the number one overall draft pick in their first start?
I don't know.
Oh, how? You don't know that.
His offense scored 42 and you gave him a D. Think about that. His first ever start on the road at Oakland and you gave him a D when his offense scored 42. I told you he's got contagious charisma. Everybody's making plays around him and they put up 42. And it should have won the game, but the refs took it away.
Simple.
Well, not the refs. I shouldn't blame it on the refs.
You know.
I should blame it on Madison Avenue.
Don't do that, Skip.
Yeah.
That's so unbecoming of you.
It's very becoming of me.
All I'm saying is, hey, Baker, so are we trying to get points or are we trying to win? So because
I don't know. They kind of go hand in hand.
No, hold on. I've seen teams win a game 17-14. I've seen a team win a game 7-6.
The real culprit here is Greg Williams and the defense. I just thought it was way better.
Skip.
I don't get it.
This is what I don't understand. I've heard you blame the officials. I've heard you blame Greg Williams. Mm-hmm. But you absolved all blame from Baker Mayfield.
I told you I gave him the one turnover. You know, the one in the pocket. the Maurice Hurst turnover. You know I give you that.
I'm looking at Baker Mayfield. It says two INTs and two fumbles. Mm-hmm. So who do these other INTs and fumbles go to? Who is throwing the ball? Tyrod Taylor didn't throw a pass yesterday. Mm.
Do you want him back?
Skip.
Campaign for it. Do it.
All I'm saying.
You think Tyrod would have scored 42 yesterday? He would not.
All I'm saying is, get Tyrod. This is what I get now. This is what I'm confused here. Mm-hmm. In the opening game, the Pittsburgh Steelers in Cleveland had Cleveland down 21-7. Mm-hmm. Tyrod scores 14, get the game in overtime. Baker Mayfield has a 28-14 lead in the fourth quarter. He loses that. He gets an A for losing a 14-point lead, having four turnovers, and Tyrod Taylor, they talking about, well, if Baker had started, Baker would have won that game. Baker had an opportunity to win the game.
How many times did the Cleveland defense intercept Ben Roethlisberger in the first game? How many times? Do you remember?
Five.
Five?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Five? Mm-hmm. Boy, it seemed like it was six, but it's five. Mm-hmm. Five interceptions. How many times did they pick off Derek Carr yesterday?
Twice, right?
I don't remember.
Hold on. They picked off Carr twice.
Twice.
Twice. Okay.
So
yeah.
That's a big difference right there.
Whoa. How many times did Tyrod give the ball away?
Did Ben throw for 426 in the opener? No.
It was a monsoon. Have you seen
anything like this from Derek Carr so far this year? 426?
I'm not worried about what I saw from Derek Carr in 2016, 2015, 2014. I'm talking about yesterday.
A D.
What did I talk about Baker? We're talking about Baker Mayfield's performance.
Yeah.
Not his Heisman Trophy winner. We're talking about yesterday and him starting.
A minus.
D.
Start ever.
D.
Way to go.
D.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
No.
Yep.
See,
harsh.
I'm not going to let you absolve Baker Mayfield. I know that's your guy. You went to bat for him early, Skip, and I understand. Skip, you love hard.
You love
real hard. You know,
true.
When people say relationships are hard, yeah, relationships are very hard if one of them only loving hard. But relationships shouldn't be that hard if both of them equal invested. Mm. See, he's invested.
Yep.
I ain't as invested as Baker Mayfield, so I'm going to call it straight.
Yep.
Call it straight.
I love Jenny hard for her opinion of Baker.
No.
Yep.
I'm with Jenny on this. Don't let him get too involved in this.
I got to take it while I have it.
Jenny.
Shannon.
You offered him your pen, he shunned you.
How does that island feel over there?
That feel good over here because there's nobody that's watching this game that's going to say Baker Mayfield deserved an A from that performance yesterday.
Yep.
42 points. But they took the collar because he allowed the Oakland Raiders to score 45.
You're not going to get a KD or an AD because you gave Baker a D.
He deserved it.
It's going to be karma.
Skip,
karma.
I didn't give it to him.
Karma.
If I'm a teacher, I don't give out grades. Mm. I just give you what you earn.
Mm.
I like that teacher in Texas. Skip, did you hear the story about the teacher in Texas that lost her job because she wouldn't give credit because his kids didn't want to do the work?
Sure.
And she said, I'm not giving y'all no credit. And they fired her. I'm not giving Baker Mayfield a passing grade when he didn't earn it. I work for Smith Barney. I give grades the old-fashioned way. They earn it.
Be a tough teacher over there.
That's right. I don't grade on the curve.
No mercy.
What about those Cowboys? They busted out of their offensive slump in a big win yesterday against the Lions. Dak Prescott had two touchdown passes, threw for over 200 yards for the first time this season. Ezekiel Elliott had a touchdown catch and a career-high 240 total yards. With just over a minute left and the Cowboys down one, Dak hit Zeke for a 34-yard catch to set up the game-winning field goal. We are joined again by D'Angelo Hall. D'Angelo, how much credit do you give Dak and how much credit do you give Zeke?
I'm going to say 60-40, Zeke.
64 to Zeke.
Yeah, because Zeke played like a extremely rare talent. There aren't many running backs who you can send out and say, hey, go line up out there, run a route. Mm. And for him to do that and for Dallas to actually exploit that, I saw Zeke play in college against my Hokies live. I was on the sideline. And I said, wow, this dude is special.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a force. Mm-hmm. Saw him as a rookie. I said, man. He can still, you know, catch the ball out the backfield. He can run routes, but they've never used him that way.
Hmm.
They use him in the screen game a little bit.
You listening to
but
this?
But they don't line Zeke up and let him run routes.
Thank you.
He is athletic enough and shifty enough and has hands.
He can catch the ball.
And so for me, what Dak did, though I thought it was, you know, put him in a position to win the game, it wasn't anything special. But at the same time, Dak did have the ball in his hands every single snap, you know, as a quarterback. And so he gets a little bit of the, I guess, responsibility.
The residual.
Residual of being the quarterback. But, I mean, Zeke was special, man. He ran the ball downhill. It's something about him. He never goes backwards. Mm. He never goes backwards. And he showed, I mean, what he can do. It's up to Dallas to keep getting him the ball. But this offense can't function like this, though, Skip. That's the problem. Like, yes, Zeke was great. Yes, Dak, you know, made some throws. But you got to get your receivers the ball, man. Tavon Austin, no catches.
Well, he should have caught one in the end zone for a touchdown.
No, he shouldn't have caught it. I heard you sit there and say, oh, he flat out dropped that.
Well, he did.
That was a great play. Slate got there right as the ball got there. You try to catch a ball with a defender raking your hands like that. That was a great defensive play, not necessarily a drop.
You got to catch that. Both hands were free, and it hit him in both hands.
Both hands were free right until that ball got there, and Slay did a great job raking that hand and then coming back and getting the other one. I don't know if he catches it.
Is that pass interference?
No, stop. You know what?
I think you just made a
case. No, that's not pass interference. No, it's not.
75-25, old Zeke.
I can't believe you gave Dak 25.
Give 25 is like residual. You know, it's like Seinfeld.
Yep.
His residual check from Seinfeld is bigger than the other guy. I think Julie Louis Dreyfus was in Seinfeld. Right. So that's Dak. Mm. He's Julie.
He's Julie.
And Zeke is Seinfeld because he set the events in motion. You know that
analogy will never ever be brought up outside of the show.
Skip Bayless is the chain. He is the engine. He's the cog. When he's doing this, they're going to be tough to beat. When he's running the ball at 6.1 a clip, and now you put him in the See, I've never seen Zeke in his NFL career, and I didn't really start following Ohio State till like the last little bit. I saw him in the I think the Michigan game, then the Big Ten, and then against Alabama and so forth and so on. So I followed him.
You saw enough, man.
But I didn't see him catch the ball over his shoulder like I see Todd Gurley, like I see Kamara, like I see Le'Veon and David Johnson. Mm-hmm. This was the first time. So let's not pretend they've been throwing him the ball down the field like this. They throw him in the screen game. He catch a little flat. He do the little option routes, things like that. The other backs are throwing the ball down the field because – I believe they're better at catching the ball down the field than Zeke. Hmm. But give him credit. It's not so, Skip, it's the time of the game in which they call the play and ask Zeke to step up. Mm-hmm. That was a big moment. Mm-hmm. That's do or die there. Everybody can't handle that moment. It shows you what he's made of. Give that credit because the easiest thing is when you get the matchup that you want and you don't blow it. That's the layup. Mm-hmm. And we see so many times guys get it. And they blow the bunny. Mm-hmm. He didn't blow it. Zeke caught it, and it led to a game-winning field goal.
I'm not sure it was a bunny either. I don't think it's a bunny throw.
No. Because you get – no, I'm saying it's a bunny throw. No, it's not a bunny throw. I'm saying you get the coverage. You get a linebacker.
I know.
And Zeke is wide open, so you don't want to overthrow him. Mm-hmm. And like, dang, I had him. You don't want to underthrow him and have the linebacker come back into play. So you drop it down. No, the throw is not easy. Especially at that time of the game, would you like to think if
pure clutch?
If Dak, hold on, that's a handoff. Because if Dak is who you said he is, that's a handoff. Let me ask you a question: if you put him in that Brady-esque, the Breeze, the Rodgers, those guys, that's a handoff. Now, if he's not there, says okay, that was a tough throw. But if he's there,
just starting his third year, that's all.
Oh, Skip. Mm. See, I can't let you have it both ways. Mm. Which way is it? Is he or isn't he? It's a simple yes or simple no.
My turn. So before I do my percentage breakdown, allow me to say, to echo what this man just said, Ezekiel Elliott is the best running back in football. I've said it from the start because he's special. He's rare. He has things that Le'Veon does not have, that Gurley does not have. He's got the body lean. He's got explosion. It's just rare. He never goes backwards because he's rare. I've never seen anything like what he did down that stretch when the Ohio State won the national championship. Because starting with the Big Ten championship game and then St. Nick's defense and then Oregon, they couldn't deal with 21 because he's just too gifted. It's like what you saw it up close and personal on the sideline. He's also, I think, the best receiver on this team. Now, maybe that's not saying a whole lot, but the truth is he's got great hands. And I don't throw that word around, but he made a couple of catches last year that I will find for tomorrow where the ball's thrown behind him and he reaches back and snatches it. I say, that's rare. You can't find running backs who can catch the ball on the run the way he can. And they lined him up in the slot. That wasn't some wheel right out of the backfield. They just flat out said, we are splitting you out in the slot, and if you draw single with a linebacker, Dak did not hesitate. He went right to him, and he threw him a perfect clutch, beautiful deep ball that hit him right there. But it's not an easy catch, as you well know, and you know also. That's not that easy.
Overhead coaches are very difficult.
Because I don't know how many of those he would practice in practice. I don't know. How many would he catch in practice?
Just pat and go.
Okay.
That's right? The time. That's okay. But it's receivers that drop that okay. ball.
All right. There are receivers that would drop that ball. Yeah. That is correct. Now, back to percentage breakdown, I'm going 50-50 just because quarterback is so much harder to play than running back. Running back, he just does what he does. But the quarterback, there's so much mental into it. There's so many clutch situations where you got to decide this, or this, and you got to make a throw. If Dak doesn't make the choice and the throw, then Zeke doesn't make that catch because it's hard under pressure. That was season on the line. All the money was on the table on that throw. You make it or you miss it, and you're going home because you're going to be 1-3, and now they're 2-2. And he made a throw early in that drive, just a couple plays before that, that was big time because they got to 3rd-and-3, and he hit one of his wideouts, who's his possession guy, Allen Hurns, for if we could see that play. I don't know if we have it. But it was a big-time clutch throw because it just keeps the drive alive. This is a nice throw. That was huge because he wasn't that open. And if you don't make this throw, it's 4th-and-3.
I mean, like, to Shannon's point, you can't keep saying that Dak is the next greatest thing and he throws a routine slant ball that we've seen quarterbacks throw 1,000 times.
But you're in big trouble, man.
You are in. If it's fourth down and Aaron Rodgers, I'm not saying, that's a great throw. I'm saying, all right, that's Aaron Rodgers.
So this man tells me he can't throw any deep balls. And then he threw one to Michael Gallup early that went for, 37 yards. And then he throws it to Tavon from 34 yards. And he just, I don't care. That's a drop. If you're a professional NFL starting wide receiver, you get both hands on the ball in the end zone, you got to catch it. And I love Slay.
They play him too.
You know what? They pay him?
Yeah, they play Darius Slay. He get paid.
Okay, you know what? He might be the best playmaking corner in all of football. He just might be because every time I watch him, all he does is what you used to do. He's just always around the ball making plays. And they kept throwing at him yesterday. And I said, just give it up, man. He's too good.
Now, Skip, let me ask you a question. Was Dak Prescott the best quarterback on the field?
Nope. Okay. He wasn't because my defense wasn't very good yesterday.
So
and Stafford played. Detroit goes 6
Stafford
out of
played
10.
Better.
Stafford is really good, and I can make a case that Stafford has the best weapons in all of football. If you put in Theo Riddick on top of those three receivers, I got to tell you.
Did you see Jared Goff on Thursday night?
Okay, but did you see Golladay? You know how difficult Golladay's like 6'4". Did you see what Golden Tate did? Do you see what Marvin Jones did?
You
like Theo Riddick coming out of the backfield? Because you give me those four, you can light it up with those four. Matt Stafford's got a big arm.
What about Gurley, Cooks, Kupp, and Robert Woods?
What I
saw.
I think I might take this group.
Hey, and I'm going to be disappointed if I got Matt Ryan's group with Julio Sanu and Cal Ridley. You wish you had Ridley. Now, look at it. He want Ridley so bad.
Freeman.
You want Ridley so bad.
I want anybody.
You want
Ridley. Take anybody. Seriously.
No, you got to tackle in Dutchman.
I just told you. Well, yeah. I don't love my defense. I didn't love some of the decisions Dak made during the game. All I know is it was really a one-play game. And when it was time to make the play, my quarterback made a play that Matt Stafford did not make.
But you know, the thing is, Skip, is that when a routine play, and that was a routine throw, that was
which one to Zeke?
Dak to Allen Hurns. That's a routine.
Okay, but if you don't make it, we're having
Well, look at Aaron Rodgers when he rolled and hit Jerry Cook on the sideline. If he doesn't make it, we're talking about that because of the degree of difficulty. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a difficult play, Skip, because he's from a standing platform in the pocket. Yeah, he just throws the ball.
If he can't make that throw, he shouldn't be in the National Football League.
Okay.
That's what we're saying.
But you're doing it in a vacuum. I'm doing it on 3rd-and-3, backed up in your territory.
It doesn't matter.
With the game on the line.
No, if you're that guy, see, Skip,
that receiver should get more credit for getting off the jam and getting open and creating separation.
What separation?
Step behind him.
D-Haw, I don't know how you thought, but when I was in the game, I didn't really, man, it's 3rd-and-3. I need to make this play. Or it's 2nd-and-5.
Every play felt like that.
when you get in a ball game like that, Skip, you're like,
what was that, blissful ignorance on your part? Most people are calculating in their head.
No.
The pressure is on.
Ain't no pressure. Pressure is what you feel when important. You don't know what the hell you're doing. I knew O'Shea Sharp had practiced for this moment.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's
when you got John
it.
Elway throwing to you.
You know what?
Seriously.
D'Angelo, thank you for joining us. Always a good time.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Fox Sports, one of one.